This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. And I ain't got nothing
to say. Hey, we're back on the Hollywood Press Box here on 590 The Fan. Great to be with you. I'm Andy Strickland on a Friday morning. With you till noon today. Appreciate Jay Williamson for joining us in the previous segment. Again, good luck to Jay coming up at the U.S. Senior Open. I mean, they call it the Senior Open. He's only 50. I mean, you would think that maybe he'd have to be 65 to play in the Senior Open. Doug Armstrong plays a lot of golf. He's played a lot of golf with Jay Williamson. Can you break down JW's game for us, Army?
Well, he plays at a different level than the rest of us, but it shows you how good those tour players are. But he's worked very hard. You see him out at hitting balls all the time, and I hope he has a great event when he gets there.
How's your summer been?
Well, we haven't really got into it yet. We just got back from Canada. We had our amateur, we had the combine, and then that for a week. That led into our amateur meetings for a week, and back here this week, and then tomorrow morning we're driving up to Chicago, going to do our pro meetings early Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Once we get everyone's protected list, and then that'll lead right into our amateur meetings before the draft on next Friday, Saturday. So it's been, constant, not hectic, not crazy busy, but just a constant preparation for next week.
You know, I got to ask you this, Army. Yesterday, big trade, Tampa Bay and Montreal, with Jonathan Drouin going to Montreal for last year's ninth overall pick, Mikhail Sergachev, who's a very good defenseman. Has a promising future in the National Hockey League. When a trade like that goes down, I know you're close with Steve Yzerman. Are you getting the news like everybody else, or did you know this deal was in the works?
I didn't know this exact trade was in the works. I know, managers, we all talk. We all know what everyone's trying to accomplish, and if they're looking to what type of players are looking to acquire and what they're giving up. And Steve said he... For a while now, he's been in the market for a player he felt could be a top three defenseman in short order, and he was looking to get a little bit younger. And so, we had one player like that, and we weren't willing to move him, obviously. And so that took us out of the mix immediately. And so we haven't had a lot of conversations about Jonathan past that.
You know, Army, if you're going to upgrade your roster this offseason, what's the easiest path to do that? I mean, you look at the free agent market, it's not overly impressive, but do you see players out there that could help your team?
I think we'll have a lot more information on Sunday once the final list come out from expansion, and then teams will also, I think, Andy, what's holding a lot of things up is next year's salary cap, too. We've heard anywhere from a flat 73.3 to a mid-range of 75 to an upper end of 77. I think myself, my information tells me to be about 75. But if it goes to 77, that obviously opens up a lot more trade options for teams. And if it goes to 73, I think there'll be very little movement this summer in the NHL just because, the majority, I'd say 20 of the 30 teams are within $1 million of the cap on a year-to-year basis.
So if it goes to 75, how much wiggle room do you think you'll have in terms of flexibility to, payroll-wise?
Well, I think our main focus will be getting Colton signed, and, there's a couple of different ways we can go with that. We can go a very short deal, a one-year deal, and renegotiate and talk to him again in January. When we know that we have some higher priced players leaving our salary cap next season, or we can do a longer term deal if the term and the dollars fit into what he believes is fair and what we think we can justify. So that's going to be the first thing we want to do, and we're going to need the salary cap to figure that part out.
Any update there in terms of your talks with Parayko? I mean, I assume things are going pretty well, correct?
Actually, we've talked this week, and both sides just feel it's necessary to wait to see what the salary cap is. All these deals are made best when you have all the information, and the salary cap is obviously a huge part of the information needed on this one. So we have plans to talk at the draft, but there's really been nothing. We approached them early last October, September, really, about an extension, and he felt that he just wanted to play this year, and I certainly understood it. He's only had 1 year under his belt, and So we table it until we get to it, I guess, now and next week.
Did you learn anything you didn't already know? I mean, obviously, I wouldn't expect you to learn much. You know the player pretty well. But based on his performance at the World Championships, how he was used, did you see anything from him, you know, and what in particular did you really like about him that you want to see him do in a Blues uniform moving forward?
Well, I think that when you look at that team, there was a lot of players of his age group on that team, and he seems much more comfortable, pushing the limit of his offensive capabilities. I saw it at the World Cup, and I saw it with that team. Meaning, you know, he has a powerful shot, and I think when he gets on our power play, he's playing with some veteran players that may want the puck at different times and demand the puck at different times. And his next growth pattern is going to just not to be, you don't want to say stand up with these guys, but he's just going to have to do what we need him to do, which is shoot the puck more often. He wants to defer a little bit too much at the NHL level right now, and that's only natural. You see it with all good young players, and you see it with all respectful good young players. But you know, for him to take the next step, and for our power play to take the next step, he has to become a threat on it, and he has to shoot that puck. And we all see when he does shoot it what can happen, and I saw that at the World Championships, how powerful and overpowering his shot can be.
Yeah, Blues GM Doug Armstrong is with us. Robbie Fabry's been skating. I know he was skating even before your guys' playoffs ended. Any update on him, and any reason to assume that he won't be ready once training camp rolls around?
No, he will be ready, Andy. Knock on wood that there's no setbacks, but he's been cleared the final hurdle from the doctor that did the surgery, and he's in full training mode right now. He's going to spend a lot of the summer in St. Louis training. He's got a trip over to Europe planned, going to go to a wedding over there also, and then but I think he's focusing in on getting his training done here with some of the other younger players that will be here. So it's always a fun time to go out to the mills and see these young guys working, and we expect, and we're going to need Robbie to bounce back and have a really good start to the season for us.
You know, fans have kind of been playing around, and even a lot of media, obviously, with the expansion draft coming up, you know, trying to predict who you're going to protect, who you won't protect. I mean, will there be any big surprises, Army? Is there anything you can tell us in terms of, you know, the list that you're going to submit to your good friend George McPhee coming up in a few days?
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of surprises. Like what we did, Andy, is Marty Brodeur, Al McGinnis, myself in our office, and then our pro scouting staff have all put together their mocks, and we all had the same goaltender, the same three defensemen, and we all had six of the same seven forwards. So our list wasn't that complicated except for the seventh player, and we've discussed and bantied around, and we're going to have to come up with a final decision by tomorrow at 4 o'clock. In my mind, we've made it, but until we have to put pen to paper and send that in, there's still a possibility. But there wasn't a lot of debate on, as I said, on the goalie, on the defense, or six of the seven forwards.
There's been a lot of speculation around the league, Army, of Vegas taking big contracts or what some people would consider bad contracts in exchange for maybe a sweeter package. Do you believe in a lot of that? I mean, do you see Vegas taking a lot of contracts that maybe teams don't want around the league? I mean, how do you predict this to go down?
Yeah, I think that they'll take some. I think it could be they'll acquire maybe a major asset, not to take a certain player, or a major asset to take a contract that the team doesn't want. Personally, we're not looking to give away future assets in this process. We're going to protect our seven forwards, three defensemen, and a goalie, and they can take who they. The best player that fits into their needs moving forward, and then we'll regroup and move forward. So I think that will happen, but we're not looking to give away assets in this process.
All right, you rounded out your coaching staff yesterday. You added a goaltending coach and Craig Berube. I don't think there was a big shock there, but you know, Daniel Tkachuk is a guy who's kind of a little bit under the radar. You've added a skills coach. Tell us why you went in that direction. You're seeing more and more teams do this, and by all accounts, he's had a lot of success working with young players both at the junior and the pro level.
Well, I think, Andy, when this league is getting younger and younger, and when we do this interview process, at the combine, we'll ask the players, tell us about your summer training, and well, I have a nutritionist, I have a strength coach, I have a skills coach, and junior teams all have skills coaches, and when they get to the NHL now at 18 and 19, their whole life they've had someone that works specifically on skills, and NHL coaches work almost solely on systems when they do practice, and there's not a lot of practice time as you're well aware with the travel schedule and the wear and tear on the bodies. But I just felt, and we just felt as an organization, that we were depriving the players of the opportunity to get better. And it's not just the younger players, but you know, when you get to your early 30s, you have to keep your skills at a high level, because once they go, they don't come back. It's not like you're not going to be able to reacquire those. So I think it's important for us to have someone on staff that can work with these guys as a group or individually on things that are going to make them better offensive players.
Well, there's a couple of St. Louis kids who worked with him in the Ontario Hockey League a few years ago who speak very highly of him. And I mean, you look at a young guy like Samuel Blaze, who scores 26 goals as a 20-year-old last year in the American Hockey League. So you got to think that maybe he has an impact on some of those young players who produced last year in the American Hockey League, right?
Well, he did, and you know, talking to the veterans and the young players, you know, it was a new element to our group, and Daniel came in and made a great presentation to Mike Yeo and I on how he incorporated his skills, and it's not just skills that aren't transferable to the game. Every drill is based on they can look at a video on, okay, this is what we're working on, this is how it affects the game, this is what happens during the game, and this is why we're doing it. Then they go out and they work on that specific element of their game. And I think if the players understand it's not just a drill for the sake of doing a drill, but it has a purpose to it, they're much more apt to buy into it. And I think that Daniel did a great job with those players. He's got a lot of different ideas. He's traveled the world, been to Europe numerous occasions to work in these and work with European coaches to find out what they do to make their players better. And I think it's just an evolution of our game. And I think Mike's excited to have it, and I know I certainly am.
All right, a few more minutes here with Blues GM Doug Armstrong. The draft is around the corner as well. You know, for several weeks, people were downplaying the draft, saying it's not very, you know, the talent level isn't as big as maybe as good as it has been in the past. And you may not have the Crosby or the McDavid at the top of the draft, but are you looking at it maybe a little bit differently now as you get closer to the draft? I mean, I got to imagine there's going to be some good players available.
Yeah, experiences being through this, as you get closer to the draft, the excitement level ratchets up and the players seem to get a little bit better in the scouts' eyes. And it's human nature. You work a 12-month cycle to watch these players, and you know, now you have to select them. And I would agree, there's no impact player. They're believed to be an impact player, like a Crosby, like an Ovechkin, like a McDavid, like a Matthews, that is going to come in and revolutionize a team, I think, in the next 12 to 24 months. But there are some good players that are going to have an impact on their team over the next probably 24 to 36 months. And, you know, at 20 and 27, you're looking at usually a player that's probably 3 years away from helping a team. Now, we were able to fast-track that with Robbie Fabry. He took 12 months and then made our team, and has been here ever since. So there is the odd player that can get here earlier, but usually, you know, most drafts it's 2 years in your either college or junior, or if you're a late birthday, one at that level and one in the American Hockey League, then you can make a difference. So this is an important draft for us. We're considering with pick 20 and 27, there's a couple of players that we'd like to move up if they're there, and in an area where someone would want to acquire both of those picks to get us a pick of the player that we have earmarked. But once those couple of players are gone, I imagine us sitting and selecting your 20 and 27.
Would that move you into the top 10 or a little bit further down?
Well, it's not really the top 10, Andy. It's the top X amount on our list. Our list, everyone's list is different. And so it's in the top probably six or seven of our list, but that could be a player that drops down to 11, 12, 13. You never know what other teams are thinking. It's one of those drafts where there are going to be some players that teams value higher or lower than we value, and we probably value a couple of guys higher than other teams. So it's not really, you know, where he is on everyone's list. It's where he is on our list, and mm-hmm. and if they're where he is on our list is what we'll have to try and get.
You've never been afraid to make a move at the draft table, Army. You've done that in the past. I mean, how much do you enjoy this flexibility, having two first-round draft picks?
Well, year in, year out, this is my favorite time of the year, because not only of the draft, but you get your you're just around the corner from free agency. There's a lot of trades going on, so every aspect of the hockey department's in play right now. We're having our pro meetings, our amateur meetings. We're drafting players. We're getting ready for our development camp and then free agency. So it's a real exciting, fun time. But having two first-round picks, I tell you, is a lot more exciting than having none.
I got to ask you about Steve Ott before I let you go, because obviously you know him very well going back to your days in Dallas, and now he's going to join your coaching staff. What did he do to sell you on the idea that he could be, you know, an impact guy on your coaching staff fresh out of playing the game, Ermy?
Well, a lot of that is personal knowledge of Steve and really his father, too. I work with his father over a number of years in Dallas. His father was a coach. We spent a lot of time together when Steve was here. Steve is he's a hockey person. He was born into the game. When he was injured last year, he sat upstairs with us, or 2 years ago, he sat upstairs with us quite a bit and watched the game like a coach, talked the game like a coach. I really enjoyed, expressing my views to him and hearing his views. And it just seemed like someone I knew was going to stay in the game when he retired. And I believe that the game is trending younger. And I think he really has a good pulse of today's players. But more importantly, he has the passion to become an NHL head coach. And this is the first step.
Yeah, and he and I kept in touch throughout the course of the year. And I think you're right. I mean, for his role as a player, a lot of people may be surprised, you know, how good of a feel he has for the game, Army, and how strong of a hockey IQ that he has. And he kept in touch with a lot of your players throughout the course of the year, too, including the playoffs. Did that impress you, the fact that he was reaching out to guys and helping them out during the course of the postseason?
Well, that's just who he is. I think he's always been a team-first guy. And when he came here, he had the goal of winning a championship. He wasn't able to accomplish that as a player up until that point. He really believed that we had teams that could do it. And I think when you're playing on a team that you think can win, your bond is tighter than ever. So I think he created a great bond with some of these guys. And it was a friendship bond, but it was also a mentor bond. And I think that's going to be the interesting part is he's no longer a teammate now. So he has to cut the tie of one relationship and start building another one. But I have the utmost faith in his ability to do that, and I think the players are going to respect him as a coach now, and I think there's really just positive upside to this.
And last thing for you, anything new to report on your American Hockey League search for I don't want to say for a home, because I know you're going to play some players in Chicago, but I know you were looking for another spot to put some players. Anything new there?
Yeah, we're very close to finalizing something, it could be five or six different players with one weather group, and we'll hope to have that done probably by mid-July.
All right, Army, thanks for doing this. You know I appreciate it, and we'll see you in Chicago.
Thanks, Andy. Take care.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Doug Armstrong, the Blues general manager, who I always get interested in what he has. There's so many different things that are taking place, obviously, with free agency around the corner and the NHL draft coming up. You got the expansion draft. It's going to be a lot of fun. One thing I'll pass along, too, is Jory Lehterä. A lot of fans are always interested in what could happen, what may not happen. And he has been playing a little bit heavy in recent years. And, you know, his agent right now tells me that they have him set up with his own trainer in Helsinki, Finland. So he's driving about an hour and a half and staying there every 2 weeks. They want to see him drop some weight. And in the past, he's always trained on his own and worked on his own. Worked out on his own, but now he's actually got a personal trainer. He also has a skating coach, so they want to see him get quicker and drop some weight. Will that change or make him look different? We're going to have to wait and see, but it is interesting that he's spending a couple of weeks every month using a new personal trainer in an effort to get in better condition. We got to take a break. When we come back, Mike Claiborne will join us. I got a number of topics I want to get into with Claves. I don't get an opportunity to talk with him very much on the air. I'm looking forward to that conversation. Don't forget, in the 11 o'clock hour, Charlie Tuna will be here. Corey Tate will also join us as well, the assistant coach under Travis Ford from St. Louis University. Before we go to break, here's Brian Hoffman.
During the month of June, McBride & Son Homes has teamed up with the local unions to create the new home buying opportunity of the year. Buy a new home now through June 30th and get McBride Homes' best deal, plus an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing. With nearly 40 communities across Metro St. Louis, there are homes for every price point in every part of town, so there's no reason to wait. Hurry to get McBride Homes' best deal, plus union cash for use at closing. Offer is only available until the end of June. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. And also, Winning Streak, the sponsor of our listener line. If you need any uniform needs, go to Winning Streak, 888-570-6194 or winning-streak.com. Jerseys, T-shirts, team banners, and card decals, all available at 888-570-6194. Mike Claiborne next.